Have your Bibles this morning, Matthew chapter 16, verse number 21. It's always a great blessing to me to see all the Bibles in our people's hands, to hear the pages turning. You must realize that there are places around the world where they do not have a Bible. And I read a story years ago where in Russia, one farmer traded an entire year's crop for a page of Scripture. And he memorized it front and back. It was so precious to him. I don't think I realize how wonderful the Word of God is, that God will leave us a personal letter from heaven that we could follow. So just draw your attention to Matthew chapter 16 and verse number 21. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, "Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee." But he turned and said unto Peter, "Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou art an offense unto me. For thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men." Lord Jesus, would you allow your word to be that which would cause us to learn the lessons that Peter learned. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to see the truth of your word this morning. In your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
Precious blood, you tasted of his goodness and his love. He showered you with blessings. He's building you a home. Yet somehow on your journey, you're standing all alone. You've wandered far from homeland, down paths so dark and cold, in search of all the treasures you could hold. Your freedom bought you bondage, rebellion bought you fear, but Jesus stands behind you, and homeland is so near. A shelter from the storm. Don't wait another moment. Come home. Remember how it used to be when fellowship was sweet. The days well spent in worship at his feet. You know it doesn't really matter how long you've been away. Just let his Spirit guide you and be restored today. Come home. comfort, a shelter from the storm. Don't wait another moment, for he stands with arms wide open. Please don't wait another moment. Come home.
Have your Bibles. We're going to start in Matthew 16, but we'll jump around a little bit. I want you to notice that we can all associate with Peter this morning. Every one of us in this room can associate with him. And I want you to understand that every message should be something that is practical for us, something that we can use to help us to be more like Christ. Do you understand today that we're not here on this earth to amass wealth, to retire in ease? We're not here to live the longest life possible. We're strangers in this world. Our home is not here. When you've trusted Christ as Savior, the day that you receive Christ as Savior, you have a citizenship in heaven. Your citizenship is transferred. You're a dual citizen of this earth and of heaven. And God the Father and the Lord Jesus want you to represent heaven well. You become an ambassador of Jesus Christ. Every one of us in this room. And you and I must not forget that. We must understand that we're here for a purpose. God doesn't want one person to die and go to hell. Matthew 25:41 says, God prepared hell for the devil and his angels, not for us. Not for anybody that's human, that's ever lived. God loves us, for God so loved the world. But God is in heaven, and he, in his infinite wisdom, said that if I forgive Dave Pittman of his sin, blot all of his sin out, if he knows that the price was my son and his blood, that he was going to come and die, surely he's willing to give his life at whatever I ask him to do to help me reach the people like him that have not heard the story, or people that have heard it but have rejected it. And maybe his love for me and his obedience to my heavenly design would cause people to look at his life and say, there's something different about Dave Pittman that I don't know what it is, but I want to know. And so surely Dave Pittman would become an ambassador for me if I pay for his salvation and his home in heaven with my son's blood. Now, that does make sense. But the old devil also has a plan. And I want you to understand today, both these messages today and tonight, will be about the battlefield that we're in. But I want you to notice this morning a little bit about Peter, lest you think that he is completely different than us. I want you to notice we can all associate with him. He had a family. You'll notice, if you would, in Matthew chapter 4, you don't have to turn there, in verse 18, he had a brother, Andrew, and they were both saved the same day. If you have your Bible, I want you to see that one verse, Matthew 4, if you would, notice, if you would, Matthew 4, verse number 18. Because it's about his salvation, we'll look at it very quickly. Matthew 4, verse 18. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon, called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. So I want you to notice a little bit about them. Number one, they had a job. Both of them, they were fishermen. They were brothers, so they had family. You don't have to turn there, but you know that there's another passage in Matthew that says that Peter was married. He had a wife. She was ill one day, and Jesus healed her. So he's got a wife, he's got a mother-in-law, his mother-in-law was healed. And so he had a wife, he had a mother-in-law, he had brothers. So we don't know who all else Peter had, but he had a family. So he's just like us in this room. And he had to have a job to support his family. So he's just like us. And so in this life, he was working to pay the bills. He was fishing to provide food, sell his fish, to provide a house. Now, I don't have to tell you, but he was a fisherman. If you know anything about fishermen, they're pretty crude people for the most part. Now, there are certain areas where people are more crude than others. For instance, many of the construction trades, pretty crude people, oil field trades, where it's mostly men together, it gets pretty guttery, if that's a word. Fishermen, sailors, out on a ship by themselves. Women have sort of a mitigating effect on men, where they're a little bit more cautious, a little bit less filth goes involved, but you take that away and just put a bunch of men together, plumbers, electricians, carpenters, oil field men, athletes, you're going to find that the talk's not all that good. And we find that Peter had a past before he got saved. Most of us do. You remember when he got put under great pressure when Jesus is about ready to go to the cross. A little girl came up to him and said, "You're with him." And he was afraid because your speech betrays you. Everybody else sitting by the fire, and he was sitting around with soldiers. Soldiers are the same way. Pretty trashy talk a lot of times. They were sitting around the fire, and they were must have been telling dirty jokes, talking about stuff that you ought not to talk about. And the young girl looked at him and said, "You're not participating. You were with Jesus, this guy being crucified in a minute." He said, "No, I wasn't." She said, "But your speech is different. Your speech betrays you." And so he went back to his old life. It had not been corrected. It had only been put in the back room. It had not been buried. It had not been forsaken and forever gone. It had just been sort of put in the back room. We're like that. We have a lot of things that we're in our past that they're not gone forever. They're just sort of put back a little bit. It's not that we plan on going back, but if you don't get rid of the sins of this life and bury them, they'll come up. You'll notice he had some personal characteristics that fit some of us. In this passage, Matthew, look at chapter 16. I want you to see a few things about Peter. Number one, he loves Jesus Christ. And he's a very fleshly man still. Remember, after this, he loses his temper or loses his testimony, begins to curse and to swear so that the young girl thinks he's wicked. He's with the group that's there. So he tries to fit in because of the peer pressure. Well, a lot of times that happens. Teenagers, young people, they get around other kids in school and they talk like them. We forget that we're not from this world. I don't know that sometimes we even realize that. Because the old devil has done such a good job of causing us to think this might be the Word of God and there might be a heaven, and I'm hoping for heaven, that we don't realize that heaven is more real than this earth. We don't realize that God has prepared a place for you and I. I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there he may be also. And he said, "And I've been 2,000 years in planning and building and preparing this place, and it is beyond your wildest dreams. So would you just live for me for 70 years? Because I'm going to have you with me forever." That sounds like a pretty good deal. But we get caught up in this life. So, you know, Peter, keep in mind, had a pretty fleshly past. He's a sailor. He's a fisherman. He got a pretty filthy mouth. Then Jesus comes along and says, "Follow me." and he says, I want what he's got. And so he takes his net and throws it down, says, Dad, you take care of it. I'm going to follow Jesus. And so Peter and Andrew follow Jesus. And his whole life begins to change, but slowly. Not cataclysmic like this. And that's the way our lives change, a little bit at a time. When you and I put in great effort to change it. How many of you ever tried to lose weight? To your hand, okay? Almost all of us tried at one point in time to lose weight. And so you work at it, and, you know, you do it a little bit at a time. Wouldn't it be nice if you could just go into a room and you just walk into the elevator, and you go in there at 300 pounds, walk into the elevator, push the button, come back out, step out on the other side on the next floor, and you're at 150 or 175, right where you want to be. Wouldn't that be wonderful if they had a room like that? But there's no spiritual room like that either. It's one sin at a time. It's pounding away at it. I'm going to heaven. I want to be ready when I get there. I want the Lord to be pleased with me. I'm going to stop that talk. I'm going to stop that thought. I want to be like Christ. I want to be in his image. I want to make a difference for him. I want to take people with me. Do you understand today that if you have a job, and all of us should have a job, Peter and Jan and Andrew did have a job. All of us should have a job. We're to labor for our food. We're to labor for our bills. We're to do that. However, you must understand that that's not why we're here. You can't take your check with you to heaven. You can't take the new clothes you bought with you to heaven. You can't take the new car, the new home with you to heaven. It's going to stay here. The only thing you can take with you to heaven is Brother Rick could take Christine. Brother Brian can take Risha. Brother Tom can take Debbie. You can take family. You can take friends. But you have to be different. Or they won't want your God. They won't believe that you know there's a place in heaven and that you're temporary in this life. If we're like everybody else in this world, our feet are planted. We're not preparing for heaven. And that was Peter. When Jesus said, I'm going to be taken captive by the scribes and Pharisees, and they're going to slay me. I'm going to die. Peter says, no! You're our king. You're going to rescue Israel, and you're going to be our king, and you can do anything. I watched you raise Lazarus from the dead. I've seen you talk to the wind and the water, and then they listen. You are God, that you cannot die. How does God die? And so you'll notice in this passage, if you would, in verse number 22, then Peter took him and began to rebuke him. Can you imagine correcting God? Can you imagine the brashness of that? A fisherman, no education, but God, that's not right. He knew Jesus was God, and he said, you're wrong. You cannot die. Notice the wording. And began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord. This shall not be unto thee. You will not die. We need you now. And here Peter is not aware of the plan of God. He hasn't thought through, how's his sin going to be washed away forever? They're still going to the tabernacle. They're still going to the synagogues and offering lambs for the covering of sin. He's still going there once a year at Passover and offering lamb. He's still doing that. He doesn't understand that Jesus, like John the Bible, looked at the Baptist at Jesus Christ and said, behold, the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. He didn't want Jesus to do that. He would have been in his sin. There would have been a point in time where, had Jesus not have come, there'd have been a point in time when the debt has to be paid. All the sins been put in escrow. Sooner or later, it has to be wiped away. That's what Jesus was to do. And Peter missed all that. He was selfish. I don't want you to die. You're my God. I want you here now. And notice what the Lord said. Look, if you would, at verse number 23. But he turned and said to Peter, "Get thee behind me, Satan." I think sometimes we act like that. We speak before we think. Anybody ever done that? Oh, my goodness. Peter's that way. Hey, if he would have backed up and thought about it, now this is God and I know that, but I'm going to tell him he's making a mistake. Whew. Doesn't take much thought for that. I'm not going to say that. Notice what if you would look at the word, if you'll notice, in verse number 23, the last part he says, "For thou savorest not the things that be of God." Savorest is the word for now. "Thou thinkest not." You don't think in the realms. You don't understand the things of God. And a part of what I want you to see this morning is, when we don't do what is right according to Scripture, in other words, when we don't think and realize we're here for a purpose, when your life is not ever growing into the image of Christ, when you're not having the visual goal in your mind that I'm going to heaven, I want to be ready when the Lord calls me, I want Him to be pleased with me when I see Him, I know I have a home in heaven. When you don't think that way, that's this word, savorous. He says, it's phrenēo, it's to think like. It's to have an understanding, be of the same mindset that we are supposed to be of Christ. He said, you savorous not the things of God. You don't think like God thinks. Oh, I'm guilty of that. I don't think like God thinks a lot of times. Peter is just like us. He's no different. We speak before we think. We don't think like the Lord wants us to think sometimes. We think about our own goals and our own dreams. We forget about what God's plan for us is. Every one of us in this room, every teenager and every adult, is to be a light to everyone around you. But how do we become a light if we cover it up with a basket? Our sin. We speak before we think. We don't think like the Lord thinks. We don't think heavenly thoughts. You'll notice, anybody ever thought that you were that you're a little too confident about something? Self-confidence? If you have your Bible, turn to Matthew 26 with me, if you would. Matthew 26. Notice with me, if you would. Verse number 33. Now, this statement is said again. Now keep in mind, it's almost the same statement as Matthew 16. Notice, verse number 31. "This saith Jesus unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered." And so you'll notice, he said, look, I'm going to, in Zechariah 13:6, about 500-600 years ago, I prophesied that all of you are going to forsake me. So this is going to be a fulfillment of Scripture. You notice verse 31, that's what he tells them. They knew the Old Testament. They could read Zacharias. They could have understood, you're going to forsake me. It was written in Scripture. And so you'll notice what happens in verse number 32. "But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee." We're going to meet again. In verse 33, he says, "Peter answered and said unto him," here he goes again. Now listen to what he says. "Though all men shall be offended because of thee." And now keep in mind, he's with 11 others. He said, "Though all the other guys get offended and flee from you, yet will I never be offended." Anybody here ever use the word never? I'm never going to do that. I'm never going to do this. You and I have to be so careful, because the power of the old devil is so mighty that he puts us in such positions to where we say, I'm never going to do that, and we end up doing it. Well, Peter is so brash and so self-confident that he said, if all the other disciples, if John leaves you and Bartholomew leaves you and Judas leaves you, I never will, Jesus. And Jesus looks at him and says, the cock's going to crow three times on the third one. You're going to deny me. Never. Now, when is he going to learn that Jesus is always right? That's us. We don't believe Jesus is always right. Our lives would be different. And so all I'm trying to say to you this morning is we all can associate with Peter. I can. I look in the mirror and see Peter in so many different ways. Oh, maybe not as much as this or not as much as that, a little more in this, a little less in that. Peter was willing to sacrifice anything at the moment, but not be faithful and steady. Anybody here like that? I'll do anything for the Lord. Pastor, you need me to do something? I'll just drop what I'm doing to come up and do it. In the garden, they come to get Jesus. He whips out his sword and tries to cut off Malchus's head, gets his ear. Not only is he a bad swordsman, but he sure messed things up there. The Lord takes and puts back on the ear. Now, I don't understand why all the people standing around right then didn't fall down and say, this is God. Who puts on an ear? Surgery immediately, and it's perfectly healed. And so he puts it back on, and Peter is standing there, and it's like, you know, I tried to take care of everything myself. I tried to do it myself. And I'm just reminded that Peter says, look, I'll go to prison, but I'm going to protect my God. And he tries to cut off Malchus's head. He's willing to sacrifice everything. But he's not willing to walk steady and to be more like Christ today than he was yesterday. He's not willing to lose a pound of sin, 1 pound a day, and become more like Christ. He's all or nothing. Jesus Christ is looking for people, his servants, the people that love him, to change into his image. Every day, a little bit more like Christ. But we're not willing to do that. You'll notice, if you would, he often tried to solve problems himself. Ugh. Why did Peter have to be such a good example of Dave Pittman? You remember when he went up to Jesus and he said, Lord, I got a question about prayer, Matthew 18. So look, and I got a question too, Lord, about forgiveness. Lord, how often should I forgive my brother? If he sins against me, how often should I forgive him? And what is his answer? 7 times? He thought through it. And he said, I bet you if I say to Jesus 7 times, he's going to look at me and say, wow, Peter, that would be great. If you forgive somebody 7 times, how many of us in this room have said, Lord, I don't want to do that. And over a period of a year or two, we did it 6 or 7 times. Anybody other than me? Lord, I'm going to be careful what I say. Lord, I'm going to try to be more loving and more thoughtful. And I forget to encourage somebody or I forget to compliment somebody. And I say, Lord, I did it again. I'm sorry. Or the Lord does something wonderful for me and I don't tell him thank you before I go enjoy it. I can remember being a 7-year-old boy and getting a horse. My grandparents lived in Oklahoma and had a 120-acre ranch. And I was 7 years old, and I loved to ride horses. And if my mom and dad bought me a horse, a registered quarter horse, her name was Mitzi Miss. I was working the other day in the house and found the receipt for that horse 50-something years ago, 60 years ago. I said, wow, where did that come from? $620, that's what we paid for Mitzi. And I remember getting that horse and going up and hugging her. Oh, I said, I cannot believe it. But I didn't really I don't remember telling my parents thank you, and I don't remember telling the Lord thank you. Lord, help me to learn this lesson, that every time you give me something, well, it doesn't have to be as wonderful as a horse. Let me be thankful. You don't find Peter very grateful for much. Tonight is at us. Today is at us. Now I want you to notice, we can all associate with Peter. So don't look at Peter and say, well, there's nothing like him. It's like me. He is very much like all of us in this room in certain areas. But I want you to notice this. We've got to achieve the same type of spiritual growth. Now, I want you to notice, if you have your Bible, turn to 2 Peter. And I want you to see this very quickly. 2 Peter. Look, if you would, in verse number 1. You'll notice 2 Peter chapter 1 says, wherefore? Now he says, okay, because of something I've previously written. Now I would remind you that God himself, the author of Scripture, asked Peter to write this book, 1 Peter and 2 Peter. Now when you notice in verse number 1, he says, wherefore, laying aside all, and he gives a list of sins here. In verse 2, as newborn babes desire the sincere miracle of the word, that you may grow thereby. So Peter's figured it out. He said, we've got to grow. And he said, look, all of you, because of what's happened. Notice, if you would, in 1 Peter chapter 1, look at verse 14. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 14. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust and your ignorance. Don't be like me and my old Peter. Look, you got to grow. Chapter 2. He says, look, now God would not have let Peter write 1 Peter and 2 Peter had he not done it first. It doesn't mean Peter was perfect, but he figured it out. He said, look, I've got to grow on a regular basis because, notice if you would, in verse number 16, here's one of the steps of growth. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. So one of the things I've got to work at is to be holy. I've got to be clean. I've got to be pure. And he knows what holy means. That he could not offer a lamb. He's going to take this lamb to the synagogue and offer it in exchange for his sin, for the Lord to cover up his sin for another year. That lamb had to be as perfect as he could find. It couldn't have a broken leg. It couldn't have scurvy. It couldn't have any issues at all. It couldn't be ill. It's as perfect a lamb as he could find. And he said, that's what I'm supposed to be like. Be ye holy as I am holy. He's got the image now. He's got it figured out, the example now. It's no longer Peter. It's the God of heaven. Be holy as I am holy. Now, you'll notice not only that, but he begins to learn that his brashness is past. He's got to learn to be patient. And so he becomes patient. Look, if you would, in 2 Peter. Notice, if you would, in 2 Peter. Look, if you would, in verse number 6. 2 Peter, this is Peter writing it. And in verse 5, he says, beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith. Look in verse 6. And to knowledge, temperance, and to temperance, patience. This is Peter writing this. He's grown now to the point where he can say, look, I want you to add patience. I've worked at adding patience too. He said, I've worked at adding temperance. Temperance is self-control. I no longer speak before I think. He's worked on it. He's grown up spiritually. And God can use him in a mighty way. That's what the Lord wants to do for all of us. He wants us to be holy. He wants us to be self-controlled. He wants us to have discernment and wisdom. You don't have to read it, but 2 Peter 3, you can see his discernment. You can see his wisdom. Notice what he writes, chapter 3. Look, chapter 3. Now, I think this is very unique. Peter was married, remember that? He was married. I can promise you he had marital problems. I can promise you that. Now, you'll notice this. In verse number 1, it says, Likewise, your wives be in subject to your husbands. Notice verse 7. And likewise, your husbands dwell with them according to knowledge, and giving honor unto the wife as the weaker vessel. Peter wrote that. Notice what he also writes. Verse number 9. Not rendering evil for evil. Hey, that's what Peter was all about. Paying people back. He's learned. Look, he says in verse number 9, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing. Peter? You're supposed to bless those people that rail on you? Peter? And then notice verse number 10. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. This was the guy that cursed and swore to join the crowd. He's different. He's grown. He's matured in Christ. He's become self-controlled. He's learned to be holy. Look if you would, in 1 Peter chapter 4, and this one does not fit Peter. This is the change that the Lord can make in all of us. Look at this one. 1 Peter 4, verse number 8. And above all things, have fervent charity or love among yourselves. How many think Peter and think the loving guy? This is the guy who tried to kill Malchus with his sword. He said, above all things, learn to love each other. Is that different? Has he changed? And notice what he says. For charity shall cover the multitude of sins. You know what he figured out? When you love somebody, you can forgive them real easy. I ought to know. You know why? Because I was there when Jesus walked into the room and all of us were there, and Jesus looked at me and said, go feed my sheep, Peter. And Peter said, I'm not worthy. And Jesus said, do you love me? He said, I only phileo you. In other words, I only love you a little bit. Because he refused to use the word agape again. That's the love of God. I refuse to use the word I love you more than all, because I don't, and I've realized it. And Jesus asked him 3 times, and he learned his lesson. He said, no, I can't say I love you like I should. I'm sorry. That's why 1 Peter 4:8 is so critical. Love everybody, and it'll cover up sin. You can forgive easier. This is Peter. I don't know about you, but I see he accepted God's desire for him. Now, number one, we can all associate with Peter. Number two, we can all achieve Peter's growth, because Peter didn't have anything more than we have. We have the same Holy Spirit. We have a church to go to, and he did too. But the question is, will you accept the Lord's desire for us? Will you accept that the Lord wants you to be like him? That he wants you not to live for the things of this life? Now, I don't believe that you should not prepare for your senior years. I don't believe that you should not save money back. I believe you should prepare, buy a house, get it paid for. I think you should have a car and paid for, have some money in the bank. I think you should invest wisely. I think you should work hard and get to some point where you can retire and be a blessing to people and a blessing to your family. I think all those things are good things. But you should not get to the point where you say, now I'm going to retire and do what me wants. You're his child, and we're preparing to go to heaven. You're not your own. You're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God. That's what he says in 1 Corinthians. He tells us all over the place. And finally, Peter understands, and he says, I got it, Lord. He said, I understand. Look at verse 9 of 1 Peter 4:8, 4:8 and 4:9. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. Peter was the author of grudges. Peter says, be good to people without regretting it. This is Peter wrote that. And lastly, I want you to see this. In chapter 5, verse number 6, Can you believe Peter got to write this with the Holy Spirit's guidance? Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Can you believe that Peter said, look, you got to humble yourself. I'm the one that went to Jesus. Oh, I rebuke Jesus. And it's written in Scripture forever. I'll never live it down. But I can change. Let's humble ourselves in the sight of God that he can lift us up. There's one thing I left out. Peter was serving for the wrong reason. If you were to look in Matthew 19, you don't have to turn there. Verse 27. He looks at Jesus and he said so many things that he regretted. And just like all of us. But one of them, he said, Lord, he said, we have forsaken all. And we have left all. I left my job. And Lord, I'm following you. And I'm trying to do what you want me to do. And Lord, what are we going to get out of it? He had the wrong motives. Anybody here ever thought, if I'm going to clean up my thoughts and clean up my life, what do I get out of it? If I make the sacrifice to be like Christ, I'm going to be different than everybody else. I'm going to stand out like a sore thumb. Yep. What do I get out of it? Well, you know, Peter learned, I don't have to worry about that. In 1 Peter 5, he said, just cast all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. He taught us how to live a life of joy and peace. And it's no wonder that Peter came to the end of his life. He's in prison. And he's under the sentence of death, crucifixion. And story has it that they take him out to crucify him. And he looks at him. And because he's grown to the point where he's now humble, he doesn't deserve anything. He realizes he's only a servant of the Lord. He says, oh, and he thinks about one thing. Jesus died on the cross, hanging there for him. And he says, I'm not worthy of that. I can't even die like Jesus did. Would you just crucify me upside down, letting everybody to know I wasn't worthy to die like him? Now that is humility. And so they crucified him upside down. I'm amazed at the spiritual growth of Peter. When I read the books of 1 and 2 Peter, I get more and more thrilled in my heart. I can do it. I can be like Christ. I can change. Not me, but he says, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. He says, draw nigh to God and he'll draw nigh to you. You know, it's like, Lord, I know if I do what you want me to do, you will help me and I can do it. Jesus makes the difference. This morning, when Jesus has come to you and said, would you follow me? Would you trust me as your Savior? He's standing on the shore and Jesus walks by. And they said, we want you as our Savior. He trusted Christ. Have you trusted Christ as Savior? Then, as you've trusted him as Savior, have you looked at your life in the mirror of the Word of God and said, am I holy? Am I humble? Do I have the right motives? Do I speak without thinking? Am I susceptible to peer pressure? Am I living for heaven? Am I a good ambassador for Jesus Christ? You remember the story that Jesus said, I give a parable and a three people, and I gave each one of them talents, and I went away for a long time, and then I came back and said, give an account. He said, well, that's every Christian in this room. So I'm going to come back to get you, and you're going to give an account of how well you took the labors or the talents I've given you. And everybody in this room's got talents. And he said, look, two of them, they heard say, well done. Because they used what Jesus gave them and became like him. Today, could I just ask you this? Are you living like Christ wants you to live? Are you accepting the desire of the Lord for your life? Folks, today, would you let your life count for something? Yes, you can go to college. Yes, you can get a degree. Yes, you can get a job. Yes, you can serve the Lord. Yes, you can have a family. But every day you get up, you have to become more holy, more humble, more loving, more hospitable, more gracious, more like Jesus Christ, so that when you get closer to heaven, you're a greater light, not a lesser light. Are we growing this morning? Are you an ambassador for Christ? That's what he wants for you. That's his desire for you. He's got a home prepared for you. Will it be a blessing to you when you see it? Oh, you say, oh, I should have done better. We have a chance now. He's not come yet, but he could come tonight. Let's make today count. Let's bow our heads for the prayer this morning. Peter, an amazing example. I love that story. Peter, an amazing example. He went from someone that was so broken, a failure, to someone that was so wonderful. We're going to have a word of prayer. I'm going to take just a minute. How many of you in this room this morning, heads bowed and eyes closed, that the Holy Spirit's touched your heart about something in your life? Something like Peter. Maybe something that was never even mentioned. But the Holy Spirit touched your heart about something. You know, I'm not doing this or I'm not doing that, or I need to add this to my life. I need to be more loving. I need to be more thoughtful. I need whatever it might be. I need my motives right. I live for this life. I forget that heaven's just around the corner. Whatever it might be. Pastor, would you pray for me? I want the desire of the Lord. Would you raise your hand? Raise it up. Let me see it all over the building. Yes, that's right. Yes, yes, yes. All over. Folks, live for Christ this morning. What would Jesus do? That's what you want to do. We're going to have a word of prayer. We're going to stand to sing. If you need to come this morning, talk to the Lord at this altar. If you've never trusted Christ, would you come to me? Let me help you get it settled this morning. Lord Jesus, you see our hearts today. You know everyone in this room. And Lord, would you make us like Peter? Take us from where we were, Lord, the old life, and make us what you want us to be, the desire of your heart. Help us to be like Peter, Lord Jesus. Holy, humble, hospitable, heavenly in our attitude. In your precious name we pray.